Well, I certainly, as always, feel the need of God's help. I want to ask for your prayers. I'm glad that I serve a God that I know is real. I think sometimes about the absurdity of idolatry. We read in the Bible about times with the children of Israel that they made things with their own hands, and they may have been made from wood or stone or something like that, and they were lifeless. The images that they made, they didn't speak. They were just lifeless, and yet they worshiped them. You know, the God that I worship is not lifeless, and he's not dumb. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he witnesses to me, and he assures me. He assures his people from time to time that he's real. He reminds us of that, doesn't he? And, you know, today when the sisters were singing the song, I begin to feel the presence of the Lord. I'm so glad that he shows up in our worship. And I'm so thankful that he lets us know that he's with us. It's a wonderful thing to feel. I want to read some scripture from the first chapter of Ecclesiastes. If you have your Bibles and would like to read with me, please turn there. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And I want to begin reading with the first verse. Ecclesiastes 1, beginning with verse 1, says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything?" This was a question that Solomon put before us. "Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us." And I'm going to conclude my reading there, having read the first 10 verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 1 for a scripture reading. And I'm going to use a title today based upon what Solomon said. And my title is, "Nothing Ever Changes." Now that seems like a strange statement to us, but that's what Solomon said here, essentially. Nothing ever changes. He said that that which was, will be. He said there's no new thing under the sun. There's nothing that we can say it's new. It's already been of old time. Nothing ever changes. Now, you know, in order for us to properly understand what Solomon was saying here, I believe that certainly we have to look at the context of his statements, because we do know that there are things that do change. And Solomon certainly would have acknowledged that fact as well, that there are things that do change. I remember I was thinking about this when I was studying. I remember I began to come to Bowling Green, Kentucky, once a year at least, about the year 1983, and I began to attend the lessons at the Old Union Minister School. We used to come here. There would generally be a group of us that would come here to Fairview Memorial for service on Wednesday evening. And the city of Bowling Green then, compared to now, has changed. That was 33 years ago, and this city is different than what it used to be. I remember one of the things that when we would be finished in the day out at Old Union, that we wouldn't have really a whole lot of choices, it seemed, of where to go that evening to eat. And now there's so many places here that you can't make up your mind. And so this city has changed. And I remembered something from coming to those services years ago here, that one of the familiar faces that I remembered was Brother Mike Collins. I remember seeing him here years and years ago in those Wednesday night services. And I sure would not want to discourage him, but he doesn't look exactly the same as he did then. We change. We are used to seeing ourselves change. We are used to seeing things around us change. People change. Our physical appearance changes. But there are things, and Solomon spoke about this. I want to ask you today to focus with me primarily upon things that don't ever change. And if I understand correctly what Solomon was saying here, there are things that God set in motion from the very beginning of the creation of this world that have not and will not and cannot change as long as this world stands. Solomon spoke about the rivers. He spoke about the wind. He spoke about how that the wind goes from the south to the north, how that it runs its circuits. The rivers do the same thing. The rivers run into the sea, yet the sea doesn't fill up, and the rivers return unto the place from where they came. And there are things that we might call these things of nature, things that God set in motion with His power that man has never been able to alter. Man has never been able to change. The sun that God set in the sky when He created the heaven and the earth, and the Bible tells us that He commanded it to give light, and it's still in its place today. And man can't do anything about it. There's nothing that we can do to change that. The sun and the moon and the stars that God put in their place for the purpose of giving light upon the earth, both in the daytime and in the nighttime, are still working today exactly the way that they did 6,000 or so years ago when He created them and put them in their place. And so there are things that, as Solomon spoke about here, he said that one generation passes away and another generation comes. But the earth abideth forever. The earth is still here. The earth has seen many generations of people have lived here. And even though that cultures change, even though that lifestyles change, even though that people's habits change, even though that we may not live our life from day to day exactly the way that perhaps people did a few hundred years ago, there are things that have been similar, and there are things that have been well known in each generation that has lived thus far upon the earth. There are things that this generation has known that was known by generations, many generations past. There were things that are things that we experience that they experienced as well. And to me, the greatest constant in all of this is that God has been with every generation. God has been present in every generation. To me, the greatest thing that we can think of in this is the fact that God is immutable. He never, ever changes. If we look in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, the Lord said this concerning Himself. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. If we look in James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, James said, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What does that mean? That He never changes. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, I listen to people. I listen to things that people say. I listen to the attitude that seems to exist in the people of this world today. And it seems like that people somehow seem to have gotten this idea that God is not going to judge sin the way that He has in days gone by. Have you heard that? Have you heard people allude to that, that things are different now? Things have changed. We're not talking about those old times that we read about in the Bible. We're talking about modern day life, and things have changed. But listen, God hasn't. And He won't. I love what the 90th Psalm tells us. 90th Psalm, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. And listen, God was God in the day that he created the heaven and the earth. God was God in the day that he looked upon the chaos that was there, when he looked upon the darkness that covered the face of the deep, and he said, "Let there be light." And at the command of his voice, there was light. And God is the same today as he was then. Hard for us to imagine with our carnal minds. It's hard for us to imagine anything that never changes, because we are so accustomed to seeing things change. We are so accustomed, as I said, we are accustomed to seeing changes in ourselves and changes in society and changes in lifestyle and changes in culture. We are so subjected to those things. But listen, the fact remains that as Solomon told us in these words of wisdom that he wrote here in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, that there's no new thing under the sun. There's nothing now that hasn't been. The last words of Holy Writ, if you look at the very last things that that you find written in the Scriptures, I want to read it. In the very last chapter of Revelation, Revelation chapter 22, it says, verse 17, it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Those are some of the last words that we have recorded in the Scriptures, and they were written just about 2,000 years ago. That invitation that we read about there, of the Spirit saying, "Come," the bride saying, "Come," let him that is athirst come. That invitation that was given then by the Lord and by the church is exactly the same that's still given today, isn't it? God hasn't changed. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, that God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, that was true when the Apostle Paul wrote that epistle to Timothy many, many years ago. That was true, that God wants everybody to be saved. That was true when the Apostle Paul wrote those words to Timothy. And listen, it's still true today. No matter how people change, no matter how much that people follow after sin, no matter how different that one generation may become from another generation, God's will for them never changes. He wants people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The Apostle Peter, when he wrote what we have recorded in 2 Peter chapter 3, where the Apostle Peter wrote to the saints of God, and he reminded them of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to keep his promise and was going to come one day. He made the statement that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now listen, that was God's attitude towards sinners in the days that the Apostle Peter, under the inspiration of God, penned that epistle, and that's still God's attitude towards sinners today. That he doesn't want anybody to perish, but he wants all to come to repentance. in Hebrews chapter 7. I've already mentioned this verse this morning. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says in reference to Jesus Christ, He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, in the days that the Hebrew writer penned those things down under the inspiration of God, that was true. The Lord is able, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost those that will come unto God by Him, because He's alive and because He's at the right hand of God making intercession for us. That certainly was true in the day that it was written, and it's just as true in the day that you and I live in. Let's be certain that we never forget this, that things may change, people may change, but listen, God doesn't change. His will and His desire for people to be saved is the same as it's always been. His power and His ability to save people is the same as it's always been. I'll just say this, if you don't believe today that God can still save souls, just ask Malia. She'll tell you. She got saved just recently. She'll testify to you today that God is still able to save souls. Aren't you glad that God doesn't change? You know, that's something that we can hold on to, that's solid. God is constant. God is consistent. He's always the same. I can go back way back into the Old Testament writings, and I can read about God having, ever since the days of Adam, I can read about God having blessed people for obedience. And He still will today. God will still bless people today that obey His word. I'm afraid that we live in a generation today that perhaps believes that the things of God are past, but they're not past. God's the same. He's still with us. He's still with His church, as it was mentioned in the Sunday school lesson this morning. The promise that the Lord gave to His church was to be with her always, even unto the end of the world. And I promise you that He's still here. He's still on the throne. He's still the same as He's always been. He can still do the things today that He was able to do yesterday. Listen, folks, God today can bless us with the mighty revival that He has blessed His people with in the past. If we'll believe that, if we'll trust Him, if we'll turn to Him, God today can bestow His blessings and His power upon us today the same way He did in the days of the great awakenings. God can still do it because He hasn't lost anything. I don't have the physical strength that I used to have. Many of you don't possess the physical strength and stamina that you did when you were younger. We change. The outward man perishes. The inward man is renewed day by day. But God hasn't lost one step. He hasn't lost anything. He's got just as much power today as He did when He spoke this world into existence. And so we find a God that the Bible speaks about. You know, the God that I like to talk about is the God of the Bible. This God that a lot of people seem to recognize today, I don't know where they found Him. I don't know where they came up with Him. But I like to read about and talk about the God of Scripture, the true God, the God that has left us His Word and has told us things that He can do, and has told us things like what I've shared with you today, that something about Him is that He never changes. And God, as I said, from the days of Adam, would bless those that would obey Him. He would curse those that would disobey Him. And He will do the exact same thing today. People today that just, you know, we can look at example after example after example in the Scriptures of times that God brought judgment. He brought His judgment, His righteous judgment, upon people that just chose to disobey His Word. I mean, we see that happen with Sodom and Gomorrah. We see that happen with Israel time after time. You know what? When they would turn away from God, they suffered the consequences. We live in a nation today that seems to believe more and more that they can live, they can prosper, they can continue without the Lord. But I'm telling you, friends, it won't happen. It won't happen. We are taught in the Scriptures, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. And I'll tell you what, any nation on earth today that wants to follow after sin, that wants to follow after evil, that wants to try to discredit God and the things of God's Word, any nation today that wants to do that will suffer the same plight that nations have in the past, because God has not changed. He hasn't changed. They better open their eyes. Impending judgment is upon us. You know, it's always been this way. Those who will obey the gospel, the Lord will save. He still will today. I believe it's the 34th Psalm, perhaps the 18th verse, if my memory is right, that tells us this. The psalmist penned this long ago. He said, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit, a bruised spirit, a crushed spirit." The Lord is nigh unto those people. Well, listen. Certainly that was true in the days of the psalmist David when he made that statement, when he said years ago, and it went into Holy Writ, that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, that He saves them that be of a contrite spirit. But listen, it's just as valid today as it was then. What does God require today of people to be saved? The same thing He's always required. I'm just going to tell you, these people that teach two or three different plans of salvation through the years, I don't believe it a bit. I don't believe God ever had to change His plan of salvation, because He did it right the first time. God doesn't change, and He had no need to change what He did from the very beginning. God has always been nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. He has always promised salvation to those who are of a contrite spirit, to those who repent of their sins before Him and trust in a holy God. God will still save people today based upon the same terms and the same conditions that He was saving people thousands of years ago. You know what? The ordinance today that's going to be administered here has the exact same meaning that it did when Jesus placed it in his church. It has the exact same meaning that it's always had. Baptism is not literally to wash away our sins. It won't save you. It's never saved anybody. If you don't go in the water saved, you're not going to get it because you go in the water. It is a symbol of what's already happened in our heart. It's an outward expression of an inward change. It's a burial in water, symbolizing that that person has died to sin. You know, when we go into the water today, it's my intention to bury Malia in the water. It's not scriptural if you don't, is it? And if I can do my job, it's my intention to bring her up also. Buried, showing there's been a death to sin, being brought forth to symbolize that she will walk according to the change that has taken place in her heart. Walk in newness of life. God never changes. There's no need for him to change because he was perfect from the very beginning. How is it that Jesus Christ can be the same yesterday, today, and forever? There was nothing about him that ever needed to be changed. He was perfect from the very beginning. His word doesn't need to be changed. Let's leave it alone. Let's obey it. Let's listen to what thus saith the Lord. It doesn't need to be altered. It doesn't need to be changed because it was perfect from the very beginning. It's already settled in heaven. And it'll be truth forever. God's word is truth, and it'll be truth, and it's always been truth. And it'll be the truth when God destroys this world. And so, I'm glad, I'm thankful that there's no new thing under the sun. You know, listen, from the very time that Adam transgressed God's law, he became a sinner. And did you know that everybody today that descended from him is a sinner? It's always been that way. And it will be that way until the world is brought to an end. As long as we live in this world, there's going to be things that will always be the same, that will never change. And I'm thankful that God put in place his absolute truths. And they're still that today. I want to ask the church to sing. I'm going to ask Malia, if she would, to come forth. We're going to prepare for her baptism. And it will take us a moment when we go back there to get ready. So please just be patient and sing until we get started. But before we begin the song, Sister Malia, if you would come on up here, please. Malia was saved here just a few weeks back at a. Do we have a? well, I can use this one. A few weeks back at a Wednesday night service, and she was praying during the tent revival, and the Lord made it known to her with surety that she had been saved that night. She joined the church during the tent revival, and I know that there were, she may have not been prepared for this, but I know there were some of you here today that didn't get to hear her testimony, and I'd like for her to share it with you, if she would, before we go back to the
Well, May the 4th, on my dad's birthday, I just gave everything up to God, and then he just gave me this calm assurance, and it made me feel so safe. And then later on that week, I knew that I was saved, and then I told everyone at the tent revival.
Thank you.
Church hymnal, 358 at the bottom, 358. Time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hands. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hands.